a very sensual story. Sensual in the sense that it uses all the senses, from touch, well, taste, not sure, but definitely sight. But I would venture to say that really, in this story, the primary sense is that of hearing. Think about how it begins. It is the story of a man born blind. He could not see. Here is someone who had never set eyes upon those closest to him. His mother. He'd never seen her. Oh, he touched her, tasted her, heard her voice, but never seen her. His neighbors. He never saw them. And yet he knew them through his other senses. Probably a lot of smell in the day and age when people, well, didn't take baths all that often. And those Pharisees. Definitely the religious leaders in town. You know, the equivalent of preachers, I guess you'd say. The religious leaders, he knew. He'd heard them, I'm sure. Heard their questions, their thoughts, their judgments. The story begins with him overhearing. I mean, so often we think that if a person can't see, they can't hear. And it starts out with the disciples, of all people, asking what question? They start, as Jesus and they are passing by, they ask a question that was prevalent back then. When something was wrong with somebody, they asked, okay, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. I mean, there's got to be somebody to blame, doesn't there? We're always looking for a reason why bad things happen. Why situations are as they are. And the disciples gave voice to that. Kind of the prevalent wisdom back then. I'm sure that was a question on the minds of many around this person as he sat probably begging, because a blind person can't even serve as a shepherd. And then came Jesus. You note, as you listen to this story, this man does not see Jesus. He hears Jesus' answer to his disciples about, it's not about sin. It's about what God can do in this man's life. And then he proceeds to do it. And I said this is a very sensual story. He takes some dirt. Makes some mud. Ew! Okay, kids? Is that kind of gross? Mud and spit in the eyes? And goes and tells him to go wash. But does he see Jesus? No. It's not until he washes in the pool of Siloam that his eyes are opened. He has not seen Jesus. That's important. He has not seen Jesus. He has only heard his voice. The story is marvelous because it's filled with words, hearing, conversation, talking past each other. I mean, how many people are talking? You saw them all up front. So we read this story dramatically. People talking past each other. They're the neighbors. The neighbors. You know, the funny thing. Here is somebody who was blind. Now he sees. His neighbors don't recognize him. I mean, he was healed. But I mean, it wasn't like he was horribly disfigured. And Jesus did some sort of spiritual plastic surgery. You know, so that, oh, didn't know who he was before, but now, wow. They can't see. They can't see. And they're raising the question about sin and all this other stuff. You know, we don't understand. We don't understand. We don't see you. That's an important point. We don't see you. I mean, when we talk about people with disabilities, they're often people we don't see. You know, when we talk about problems in our society, it's much easier and it makes life easier if we just try not to see. You know, when you drive past that person on the island in the middle of the road who's got that sign up in front, do you make eye contact? No, because if you make eye contact, it might come up to your window, right? Try not to see. They become invisible. Here is a blind man who now sees who is invisible to his neighbors. Bring him before the Pharisees. Are they talking about him? No, they're not saying, wow, you were once blind and now see that. Wow. No, they're what are they talking about? They're talking about who did this to you? Okay. You know, the last time, okay, those of you who had that surgery on your eyes, did somebody say, you know, the kind of in a way about the doctor who did it? Who did that to you? But that's the question. And what was worse was not who did it, but when did they do it? They're locked. They were locked into this mindset. Now, let me back up a little bit, because when did this happen? When did Jesus do this on the Sabbath? And the Sabbath is a holy day in remembrance of creation. You know, when God, with a word, now that's important, with a word brought all things into being, brought, you know, everything out of nothing or order to chaos, depending on how you translate the words, it does not matter. But with a word in six successive days, and on the seventh day, God rested. And the day of Sabbath is like a gift. It is a gift to God's people to step into the creative and the recreative power of God. A gift of a day that they were treating like a box. You know, in this box, nothing should happen, because God said nothing should happen in this box. And they were trying to fit themselves into this box. Instead of this day setting them free, this day was closing them in, and their minds closed in. They couldn't see. They were blind. Those neighbors were blind. The Pharisees were blind. The only one who could see was the blind man. Do you get the humor in this story? They brought his parents before him. And I really, you know, it would be a tendency to kind of nail those parents, but, you know, as I'm seeing those parents are doing the best that they can. You know, they probably have lived their whole life just trying to figure out, what did we do wrong that this happened? How many parents feel that way? What did I do wrong that things are turned out the way they did? Now, maybe your son's not blind, but maybe going through some problems or whatever. But is that the issue? Well, wasn't here. What did Jesus say? It's not about that. It's about what God can do. It's about what God can do. But here are these parents, they're just kind of trying to back off because they're afraid. There's a lot to be afraid of. I think all these people are afraid. All of these people are afraid. They're afraid to see. They are afraid to see. And because they're afraid to see, they're also afraid to listen. the only one, as I said, who can see in this story, is the main character. The main character, you know, here's a story about Jesus, but the main character is the blind man, very definitely. He is the one, this is a story in several scenes, if you will. He is the only one who is in all the scenes. Because Jesus comes in at the beginning, and then he's out of the picture. And steps in at the end. But from the beginning to the end, some amazing things happen. I mean, here is this man. And at the very beginning, you know, you can see his faith developing. You know, as he first talks about the man who came and put some mud in his eye. And afterwards, when he washed, he could see. And it shifts a little bit over time. Did you see? At a certain point, you know, he takes a further step. Not just the man. He says, a prophet. His faith is growing. And he even steps into a form of humor. Did you catch the humor in that line? When he was getting grilled by those Pharisees and he says, why do you keep asking me? What, do you want to be his disciples too? That's not humor. I mean, the Bible's full of such humorous little moments if we take time to listen to them. Listen to them. Till by the end, Jesus re-enters the scene. Just ask him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Fell says, well, who is he that I may believe in him? And Jesus, in a sort of a roundabout way, in a kind of convoluted way, basically says, you're looking at him. And he says, Lord, I believe. And he steps into his future. Didn't happen all at once. It kind of developed. Now, this story has functioned in the church as a story about faith development. Doesn't all happen in a day. But as the early church heard this story, you know, they were going through some rough times. They were going through dark valley times, through persecution and other things. But those bad things that happened actually were serving to grow God's people. Now, the church that this gospel especially was aimed toward, you know, was kicked out of the synagogue because of, you know, what they were seeing in Jesus and hearing from him. But beyond them, us today, we can hear kind of these tentative steps of faith. We can hear the movement from blindness to sight, from disbelief to belief. God's recreating power in our lives. The hand of Jesus. God acting. But, and this is something that really dawned on me yesterday as I was thinking through what I might say today. It is the hearing that is so important. Hearing is extremely important to this story. As we hear God speak in our lives. We pay attention to the words. I mean, we call this the word. In fact, in the Torah, the Ten Commandments are called by Jews, not the Ten Commandments. They call them the Ten Words. It is by, you know, the Word of God that creation came into being. It is those Ten Words, you know, the Word of God that is not there to fence us in. It is there to bring order out of our chaos. It is there God speaks that we might be able to see. Now, I'm no scientist. You know, I do know that sight or light travels faster than sound. You know, that you see lightning before you hear thunder. I know that. So I can't say that sound comes first. I think they're tied together. But it's the voice of God. Remember how we started worship? It's the voice calling us to awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. For Christ shall give you light.